Hello, everyone. You're listening to Sci-Fi Dig. I am your host, Aaron Makem, and today I'm going to talk about a Blu-ray set. I said I wanted to talk about some of the Blu-ray sets in my collection, some of the DVD sets. I love movies and films, and that's obviously what this show is about. In the past, we have definitely strayed away from science fiction and fantasy and horror. We, I've talked about other things like drama and things like that, but I have a lot of movies in my collection. For the longest time, there was a film that came out that was new that I had not seen in a theater that I wanted to see. I didn't have any qualms about buying the disc when it came out, because the fact of the matter is as a family of four, if we went to the theater, it was going to cost me more than just buying the disc. So if I didn't see it, that was a no-brainer. If it was something that I loved and I could not wait to see again, then I would buy the disc. Now I'm at the point where I will wait till the disc is on sale, because I got to make sure it's something I will go back and watch again. So as time has gone on, a lot of my taste in films and what I want to see has kind of turned to box sets and special editions of certain things. Now I have a couple of friends, and you guys know who you are, that they get a film in their brain, and they have every single edition of that film that's come out. They just keep picking them up, even if it's just a new cover, or there's one new extra, or just one thing that's a little bit different. They will go out and grab those up. Now, and it's funny, because in thinking about this and thinking about physical media and collecting it and things like that, the thing that's funny that has occurred in the last couple of months is in talking about some films that had a cut that is no longer available. One of those films is Highlander 2. The initial theatrical cut is, you can't find it on DVD anywhere. It was pretty much a VHS thing. And when it came out on DVD, they changed it over and you couldn't find that cut. And you couldn't even pirate that cut, as I tried looking for, because I wanted to see that version of the film. So I was lucky enough to have a friend who got the VHS on eBay and converted it for me, because I wanted to see this cut. Now, Highlander 2, I don't want to go into the whole film, but suffice to say that, I'll talk about it on a show at some point in time. When they did when they recut it, they tried to gloss over the whole alien part of it and things like that. So it's kind of funny, because if it wasn't for physical media and the fact that people still hung on to these things, we wouldn't be able to see that cut of the film, right? And I know that you probably, like me, have gone through your collections. A lot of us probably had VHSs of certain things, and then we bought the DVDs, and then, the VHSs, it's hard to find a player. They don't look anywhere near as good, and if there's already a version out there, then why hang on to them? So either you're taking them somewhere and donating them, which they're just going to sit on the shelf, or you're like me, and you went on a tear one day and lost your mind for about 4 hours and just threw everything away. I had about 8 bags of VHS tapes that I threw out, and most of that stuff I have on DVD. So did not feel bad about it. There were some VHS tapes I gave away. I was lucky enough that I had the entire Star Trek and Next Gen collection on VHS, and it hurt my soul to part with that, but to have to throw it away. So I found somebody who wanted them all. And I was very painstaking with those sets. I made labels for all the episode numbers to make sure that you knew, because they weren't actually put out in order. There were some waffling back and forth, but it was important to me that they had the proper numbering, and so I did that. That's just the whole OCD in me. Anyway, so streaming media obviously is easier for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, you can have it now. Two, it's a push of a button and you can just watch it on the device in your pocket. You can watch it, on your TV. Everything's just really quick, really easy. And it is, you don't have to keep track of where you were. It usually just starts back up wherever you left off. You can go to a different device and pick up where you left off. You can walk from the living room to the bedroom and just start watching it there, or however you want to do it, And so there's a lot of ease to that. The cost is still pretty much similar for streaming media as opposed to physical media, especially with the newer stuff. I shop deals as well, looking for certain streaming things that I may not have. And if I want to see a movie, usually it's the cheapest price wins. There's not very many things I'm like, man, I want to see that right now. I do not want to wait. And I go and I buy a streaming version of it. Usually I have multiple things to choose from when I want to watch something. And if there's something that I want that I don't have, then I pick something else. Yeah, TV is how I unwind. TV is, it, you know, watch. I say TV again. That's an outdated term at this point, right? Does anybody say TV show anymore? They say show. You know, they say series. And I think it's obviously a changing of the time, a changing of the generations. You know, the newest generation seems they're not really interested in collecting stuff. They have digital collections, you know, but they're not really interested in accumulating a lot of stuff. It's a kind of a different thing. And for a long time, you know, I was trying to streamline things and trim things down and try to be realistic about all the crap that I've accumulated, you know, not just DVDs and Blu-rays, although that's my biggest addiction, but, you know, just geek stuff in general. You know, I try, if it's something that I'm not going to use or I don't want, then, I come across and I'm like, man, like, I would like to pick this up. And then I'm like, well, realistically, what am I going to do with it? You know, that might happen at a convention, you know, where you come across something, you're like, man, it's so cool, I want to get that. Then I just stop and say, okay, and then what am I going to do with it? Is this going to be stuck in a box somewhere and I'm never going to look at it again, or whatever? And that's kind of the realization that I've come to in my life. But physical media is still king for me. You know, I know that when I say physical media, I am mostly talking about Blu-rays and DVDs. You know, I do have an extensive CD collection, and right now they're all packed up because I subscribe to a streaming service, but the streaming service doesn't have everything. And eventually, I mean, I have like a handful of CDs that rotate in and out of my car. But I usually listen to a lot of odd stuff in the car and never really a CD ever very often. But when I do, I would rather listen to a CD than a streaming service because, well, the CD just sounds better. It's as simple as that. And it's kind of funny. We've kind of gone back to vinyl, which I also love as well. But when it comes to comics and books, I am all about the digital. It is just so much easier. And honestly, the ease isn't even so much ease of getting it and carrying it and storing it. That's easy, but the ease is just the ease of reading it because I can make the font as big as I want for a book. It's backlit. I can read it in a dark room. I don't have to turn on a light. Part of that's just getting old. As you age, your rods and your cones and your eyes kind of go to hell, and you need a lot more light in order to see things clearly, and let alone the fact that the muscles in your eyes aren't moving as quickly, and so therefore seeing things close up would be a pain in the butt. Now, you might not believe me, but hey, if you don't believe me, wait till you hit about 46. Some people a little bit earlier, some people a little bit later, but it's going to happen, I promise. And so when you're reading on an iPad or a tablet or whatever, I read on an iPad or read a book on my phone, it's just a lot easier. So with all that being said, I'm looking through my Blu-ray collection and trying to pick out the things that, I mean, I will review a lot of things, but I tend to lean more towards box sets because usually when they do a box set of something, they do something special. I know that there are special versions of films out there. You know, you have Severin and you have Shout Factory and Scream Factory that do things that, you know, they will put out a special edition of a film, and it's like $30, you know, and if it's a movie you love, then it's not, you know, you pay it because they try to put the effort in not only doing a rescan, but also trying to get new commentaries that they have to pay people for and things like that. And I like that. I like when you get films that are older that have made a big splash, and then later on you're able to get some of the core people back to talk about, you know, how these films have, you know, affected, you know, a generation of people, you know, and, you know, what their memories are. And it's funny because sometimes there are some negative things that happens on those movies that they don't say when they first come out, but then after time, they're like, ah, you know, we dealt with this, you know, we buried the hatchet, so now I'm going to talk about it, you know. And it's kind of fun to hear how, you know, things got made or how things didn't get made, you know. Anyway, but with box sets, they usually do, you know, if you're looking at a Blu-ray upgrade, they usually put the extra effort in to try to give you stuff. It's funny to me that in a lot of box sets, you know, they try to include like a book or something else, some piece of physical thing to show to make it extra special. Where, and don't get me wrong, those things are great, but I might look at that book one time. I would rather they put all the effort and all the money behind making the show the best it can be, to look the best it can be, and get the best commentaries they can get. So I'm scanning through my collection looking, and don't get me wrong, like I have Blu-rays and DVDs, and there's some DVD sets that are outstanding. You know, I'm not knocking DVD at all. I still think it's a great format. It's very universal. The only thing I like a little bit better about Blu-ray is that the discs do take a little bit more abuse, and I appreciate that. Where I've had some DVDs that wouldn't play, and so the upside of DVD is the copy protection is a lot less, and so if I get a scratched DVD, it might take me a while, but eventually I'm able to rip it so it's not a complete loss, and so I can still view the film. And if I can do a complete disc copy, then I just stick the recorded disc in the case with the original, and if there's a problem, then I have the backup there, you know. But with Blu-ray, you can kind of abuse them a pretty good bit before you're going to have issues, you know, with them not playing. So with that being said, I was looking over my collection and I was like, I came across a couple things. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this one. I'm going to talk about this one. And then my eyes set upon something. I was like, nope, I have to talk about this one because here's why. This is a show that it was made in the 60s. And it was on in the mornings, like around 10 o'clock or something. Like I remember when I was young and I liked it because it was science fiction. Apparently, I've been attracted to science fiction my whole life, but I liked it because it had science fiction feel. But I didn't like it because it was slap happy and funny. And I always felt the same way like I do about the Scooby-Doo cartoons, which is this would be a much better show if it was just serious. You know, I know I'm crazy, but like Scooby-Doo never really got why they sent the burnout and the dog off to do something when they were going to screw something up. It's just like, why did you just not keep everybody together? Why give them jobs at all? Because they never get it right, you know? And then I won't even get into Scrappy-Doo. Anyway, so I always felt that this is a show that I'm like, ah, you know, I wish it was more serious, yada, yada, yada. And the show I'm caught talking about, of course, is Lost in Space. And Lost in Space was a show that I probably have seen all of the episodes. And I probably saw them all before I was 15 years old because it was always on. And I was always watching. I remember the first time that I saw a black and white episode after I saw the color episode. I'm like, what is going on? Why is this? What's happening? And then I realized that, oh, well, this must have been came out first. And then, you know, there obviously there were other episodes that as they progressed, they used color. So, but it was a show that there was elements of it that I really liked and things like that. But there was a lot more elements I didn't like. So I never like it was on. Keep in mind that, you know, we had three stations, so you were stuck watching whatever, but it was on. So I would always watch it, you know, because usually it was at, you know, if I was in the summertime and I was at a babysitter or something like that, I would watch the show. So I saw a lot of the episodes, or I probably saw most of the episodes. But it was something that it was just there. You know, I watched it. I liked that it was science fiction, but man, it really, really rubbed that nerve raw about the whole, like, the comedy and, like, just how ridiculous some of these situations were, like, how the people would react in a situation. It was just silly to me in a lot of ways. So I never really loved the series. And at the time, if I had to give it a 5-star rating, I would give it a 2. I had seen Star Trek, and I mean, Star Trek, I loved it. That was everything that I was looking for in a science fiction series. I mean, people were heroic. They didn't act like fools when something, you know, came up. They didn't run from danger. They didn't scream and carry on. They didn't insult one another. It was my kind of show. So, but Lost in Space has always kind of been in the back of my mind as they brought out, you know, a DVD set. And then I remember seeing Mark Goddard at a convention one time, and he was doing Polaroids. Now, this wasn't like, you know, 1982. This was like 2010, you know, and he was doing selling Polaroid shots. And I always thought at the time, I thought, you know, here's a guy that, you know, I would love to contribute to something because, you know, obviously he poured his heart and soul in this, and Lost in Space, whether I like it or not, is a fan favorite among many, and it was a good show. And they had the elements that they had that were, I liked the elements that they had, you know, the spaceship, the spacesuit, the science, you know, things like that, the robot, obviously. It was just kind of like some of the slapsticky stuff that I didn't love. And at the time, I remember thinking, man, wouldn't it make more sense to, like, contact CBS and say, hey, can you wholesale me the whole, you know, the seasons of Lost in Space, and I can bring those to the convention, and then I can sell the sets for, you know, whatever the normal markup is, but I'll sign them? Because to me, this is before we had a lot of streaming stuff. To me, that was a better way to make money. You know, you can mark them up. You can even mark it up, you know, 25% higher than normal and autograph it, make it out. You know, you could personalize it to the person. To me, that made more sense. But I don't understand why nobody ever did that. I mean, I think the kind of the time is past for that now. But I never really got the Polaroid thing. And this is a whole other tangent. But anyway, I remember seeing him there. I remember thinking that. I remember thinking, you know what? I should probably go back and watch that show at some point. Fast forward to, I don't know, 2-3 years ago when this Blu-ray set was announced and they were talking about it and it finally dropped and it was Christmas time and my birthday and you know, everybody's asked me what I want. I said, you know what? I think I want that Lost in Space set. I'm like, because I'm never going to buy it for myself because it was probably 70 or 80 bucks at the time. And I'm like, I'm never going to buy that for myself. I'm like, but I hear really good things. It was getting great reviews as far as the quality of it. So that's what I ended up getting. And so I have the box set here. This is a 15-minute warm-up to tell you about a box set that you can't even see because I'm doing an audio podcast, but that's cool. That's how I roll. And all of you older folks, you appreciate this, okay? So, I got the box set, and it actually sat here in plastic for probably 3 or 4 months. And then one that I'm like, I need to open this thing up because I haven't even watched an episode of this yet, and I want to. So I just opened it up, and there's the three seasons are in there. They're packaged up, and I just pulled out one random season. I said, it must have been like season two maybe. And I said, okay, picked the disc in the middle, pulled it out, put it into player, picked an episode in the middle, and hit play. And let's see what happens here. And I was blown away at the quality. Oh, my God, it looks so good. It looks every bit as good as Star Trek did. When they did their Blu-rays. I mean, that's the thing is all this stuff was shot on film and it all looks amazing. And they did not cut corners as far as I can tell on the upconvert. Now, I'm sure that there are people out there that, you know, either do this for a living or spent, you know, 5 hours with a microscope looking. I'm just telling you, it's going to blow you away. The average person, they're going to love this. It looks amazing. The box itself comes with the three seasons separated. They are kind of accordion fold out things, which are kind of, you know, it's not like the old days when it wasn't an accordion where you just kind of kept flipping it over and flipping it over and flipping it over for like DVDs. It is like accordion where there's like, you just kind of pull it out. There's like four sides and the Blu-ray discs are slid in there. I know some people complain about that. I have never, ever, ever had a problem scratching a disc, pulling it out of one of those sleeves. I know some people were like, you know, this ruins my, I've never had a problem. Okay. I'm just saying like, I'm careful. I've never had a problem. DVDs might be a different story, but then again, I've never had a problem with those either. But it's easy to get them out with one hand. You don't have to lay them out on the table. So, and winning on that, you know, the way that they're put in there, they're just folded up and they're put in the box. They're not like in their own individual. Each season isn't in its own individual sleeve, but each season is individual in an accordion style box. It comes with a replica of Will's script from the first episode, I believe. And it's the size of the Blu-ray case, you know. It also comes with a fold-out poster of the robot. It's like a blueprint, and that's kind of nifty. And it also comes with cards for all the main cast members. They're, you know, big glossy cards. It has the character on the front, and then you flip it on the back, and it tells you the character's name and who played the character, and it gives you some fun facts about the show. Not necessarily about the characters, but it gives you like two or three fun facts about, you know, what went on in the show. Like it talk about the spacesuits being so hot and tight that they'd have to rest in between takes and stuff like that. Little facts like that. And I think that's all that comes in the box. Now, I love the box set. I mean, I love the contents of the box set. Of course, I just love the Blu-rays. I mean, there's stuff. I don't care if it's in there or not. I just love the Blu-ray set. They look good. My only complaint about the box set is it's literally a box. So it's closed on all ends. So if you want to get to the material, you have to open the top of the box or the bottom of the box. And it opens like a regular box would open, you know, like a deck of cards. And so that kind of gets beat up opening it over and over again. And the thing that's kind of a pain in the butt that I don't like is since you have to open from the top, you don't know what you can't, there's no spines for you to look at. Of course, no spines on the sets at all. The individual seasons because of the accordion style, but you're not quite sure what you're getting. So you kind of got to empty the entire contents out in your hand and then find the season you want. I don't like that part of it because it's kind of a pain in the butt. And I can see that if I was in a hurry or I wasn't paying attention, how you could easily rip that. The one thing that I do like is that I will complain about this repeatedly over as I do different box sets. Box sets have this thing, especially HBO, that they put the sticker on the back. of the box set. It's a full length sticker that you can peel off if you don't want it. That has that you know, like rubber cement stuff you can rub off with your finger. That has the barcode on it. So if you have a catalog program like I do, and you're trying to scan in your stuff, because for the first time in a long time, well, the first time in forever, I can remember, it was about 2 months ago, I bought something that I already had in my collection. I thought I had it. I couldn't find it. And I was like, well, maybe I'm just imagining that. And I bought another one of it. And then I was mad because when I started going recataloging my stuff, I realized that I had it in my collection. So that was dumb. But anyway, you have to have the barcode. Because using the barcode in any of these programs is much easier. You just scan it, boom, you're done. Otherwise, you got to do a search for it. Now, HBO is really, really bad about like some of their Game of Thrones stuff. I haven't bought anything since past season 2 of Game of Thrones, but I bought a couple other HBO sets around the same time frame. And the box sets are beautiful. They're a little bit smaller, so their Blu-ray size are not like this. Like Lost in Space set is as big as a DVD case. Some of the HBO stuff is shrunk down to fit the size of a regular Blu-ray case, which is a little bit shorter than a DVD case. But the boxes are always real nice, but they have the thing that sits on the back, and it comes right off when you open the case. It's not really held on. The cellophane holds it on. So if you don't save that and you want to add that to your collection, you actually have to do a manual search, which seems like it would be easy, right? It's a pain in the butt in any of the software because you got to find your region, your version. Sometimes they put two seasons together and they sell this box set. Like I said, it's kind of a pain in the butt to be able to find that stuff. So that's a minor quibble. This one here is stuck on here pretty good. I have not peeled it off. I never peel them off if they're stuck on there, unless they're in the way of opening the box. But overall, I give this set 4 out of 5 stars. I'm taking a star off just for the way that, and I don't do half stars. So I'm taking a star off just for the way that the top of the box opens. It's kind of a pain in the butt. I wish there was a little bit better way. I realize, I mean, the amount of money that they charge when this came out, they could put a magnetic closure on there or something, like some of the boxes have. But the contents, I'm giving 5 out of 5. They really did a good job on this. They didn't cut corners. And this is one of those sets where you buy and you have no regrets about buying the set because they took the time and the energy. Yeah, there. You could probably find something that you wanted to have in it. It's not in there, but I'm just telling you, for the show, even if there was no extras, the show itself is pristine. It has subtitles. If it doesn't, I tell you, everybody right now, if I'm doing a review on something and it doesn't have subtitles, it automatically loses a star. That is a huge nitpick with me. I hate that. I hate the fact that it doesn't take that much time and effort to put them in there. I know it's a cost, but I mean, there are films that come out that don't have subtitles. And it's annoying because, well, first of all, there's a huge section of your market who cannot hear, that are not able to enjoy the show because of that. And you're really, when you do stuff like that, you're really pushing people towards streaming, because even if you do take the time to put time and effort to make a Blu-ray and do a rescan and all that, if you're not putting subtitles in, if somebody can't hear, they're going to go to one of the streaming services that have subtitles built and just get the rather standard edition of it in order to watch it, because they can't enjoy what you have. And that, to me, that's kind of silly. At any rate, you can purchase the Lost in Space Blu-ray set on Amazon currently, right now as I record this, for $79. Now, I have seen that price be a lot less. If you look at if you go to Blu-ray.com and click on deals, you can search there. I think you can look on there and go to get a price history on it as well and see when it was lowest. Because I swear it was $59 2 weeks ago when I was looking around. Because I usually check there every night and just see if there's anything great, especially during Halloween. There's usually some really great deals during Halloween. And I also love that site during Christmas, because usually Christmas, right before Christmas, I know it's not as prevalent now because discs are not, they don't take up any space in store anymore because hardly anybody carries them. But if you're like me, it's the time to start looking around, seeing if there's any good deals on films that have just come out that are dirt cheap. I usually end up picking up some movies for $5 and $10 that are fairly new, and usually something that doesn't normally go down in price. Like, you get some movies that just kind of hold their value. Their sell value is usually the same. A lot of the Marvel movies are like that. It stays the same for quite some time. But if you want the DVDs, you can buy the three seasons on DVD as a set for like $128. So I would say the Blu-ray's probably the way to go. I don't know. You might have a Blu-ray player. If you don't have a Blu-ray player, you should get one. I know that one of the issues that I had in the past, I had to have a Blu-ray player and a DVD player because I had some out-of-country DVDs. And some stuff you just couldn't get. Like there are certain discs, certain shows, like UK shows you could not get in the US. There wasn't a US pressing of them, so I had to have a player that could play them. DVD players are easy. People say it's hacking. I don't think it's hacking. You just change the region code. Not a big deal. Look up your DVD player, and you just type in the buttons on the remote, boom, you can play, make it region zero, and you can play everything. However, you can't do that on a Blu-ray player, even if the Blu-ray player does play DVDs, because it's kind of set. So the only way around that, and this is what I ended up doing, is you can find places that sell them that make the Blu-ray players, then you can set the region code to the Blu-ray players. I'm not sure. I guess some people think that's illegal. I don't know if it is or not. All I know is it end up costing me like $20 more than the Blu-ray player would normally have cost, and I've had the same player for years now, and I can do I can do the DVD and the Blu-ray, whatever other region, but mostly the stuff that I have is DVDs from other regions, because there's a lot of television shows that at the time I could not I couldn't watch. It wouldn't work. So you know, that's the other thing too about streaming, is that, you know, it just, you can kind of do it anywhere. It's not that big of a deal until, of course, you know, they no longer have the rights and they pull them from your device or your account, and then you can't watch them then. But that, you know, it's one of the other things, you know. And I'm not knocking streaming by any means. I mean, I love it. It's, you know, when I stream Netflix all the time, I'm watching Sabrina right now, and I'm in love with that show. That is an awesome show. I understand that they try to make it a little bit more adult, like you know, very much like Afterlife with Archie, which, man, what a mess they did with that, right? That was a great comic. And I say was because they can keep telling me they're working on more of them, but man, the delay has been substantial between the last issue and whatever they're working on now. So they did the Sabrina stuff and then the Sabrina show. I'm really enjoying it. It's much darker, and but they did a really good job of, in three episodes, of kind of building this world and all the mythology around it. I really like what they're doing there. And oddly enough, the actress who plays Sabrina, she played Don Draper's daughter in Mad Men. And man, I hated her in that show. I thought she was, I didn't like the actress. I thought that all she did was whine. I didn't like it. I mean, I hated her in that show. I didn't think she had any kind of range or anything. And I love her in Sabrina. I think she does a really good job, and I think that this show is really enjoyable. So there's a streaming one as well. So, I mean, I do enjoy streaming as well, but I like physical media for a lot of different reasons, and one of those reasons especially is that, man, Blu-ray discs, when they take the time to do them right, they look fantastic. Now I'm kind of excited that I talked about this, because I have a couple of other ones that are just like good sets, and I know that there's a lot of sets out there that aren't science fiction, fantasy, or horror. I know there's like a lot of drama sets out there and things of that nature, but I don't have many of those in my collection. I don't know why. I've just been, it's one of those things. It's like when I grew up, there wasn't much science fiction, so whatever you found, you fell in love with them, whether it was good or bad. And you watch it now, you're like, oh my God, it was horrible. But, you know, whether you're good or bad, and so I still have that same mentality now. It's like when I come across something and it's, you know, I want it, and I want to watch it, and I want to hang on to it, because, you know, I grew up in a time when there wasn't a lot of it. So, and it just really kind of, I don't know, it just become part of me. It's the same thing with comics. It's like I've always had comics, I've always loved them, and I'm never going to, hopefully I never stop reading them, because I just love them so much, even if I don't read them every day or every week or every month even, because it's been a really busy week. I don't think I've read a comic this month. But the last couple weeks have been really crazy, and I haven't had time to do much of anything. But it's just something that's ingrained, right? We all have our passion, we all love it, and hopefully, you know, you always will, because it's always good to have something to do, right? Anyway, that's the show. I want to do a couple of book reviews on here as well. I do a lot of not only regular books, but some audiobooks as well, because I'm finding that one of the great things about, you know, streaming that I think that doesn't get talked about enough is that there are certain things that, at least right now, are streaming that may never have a physical media release. I know Audible does some Audible originals, and I don't see how they're ever going to have any kind of physical release. And something else too is that I have to say that Man, Audible really does a great job with audiobooks. I mean, they really were there when it needed to be done. You don't have to go buy, you know, spend $80 on CDs of an audiobook now and lug all these around everywhere. I can have 50 books on my phone, no problem, and or my iPad or even my computer, no problem, and be able to play them whenever. You know, they really have done a good job with that. But there's been a lot of audiobooks that I have consumed over the past year that have been great science fiction stories, or at least fall in that realm of, you know, science fiction or fantasy. Anyway, I said 30 minutes. We're almost over. I will talk to everybody later. Until next time, over and out.